From Bregman MD, where we're all about psych solutions, I'm your host, Linda Corley, and this is The Breakdown with Dr. B.
Several years after the pandemic, people are finally going back to the workplace, an office. Imagine that. In fact, around 80% of U.S. workers hit the office every day. Now, getting back to the office has inspired all types of mental health research. So, Dr. B, I'm bringing you in. I want to talk about the pros and cons of working from home versus working in the office. But let's start with something you're well known for, which is cave syndrome. Those particular people, I would imagine, are really struggling getting back to work, right?
Oh, absolutely. If we just roll back a little bit to the pandemic, and right after the pandemic, I coined this term called cave syndrome, and it describes a psychological experience where people crave being at home, being isolated at home. It's a form of agoraphobia. People are afraid of going out. As we came back into the workplace after the pandemic, there was a certain percentage of these cave syndrome affected people that wouldn't come back, or it was extremely hard for them, and they liked being at home. So it was kind of an excuse for being at home.
And, you know, let's talk about what you see as, you know, someone who runs a pretty big mental health psychiatry practice. And to add some color into this and his own thought, I want to bring in Jim McClure. He has been on a show of ours before. He's a journalist for radio, TV, and print. And Jim, I wanted to ask you, you have worked in various capacities. You've worked on ships. You've worked in the field. You've worked in an office. You worked at stations. Give me your idea, you know, just from the common man, woman point of view of the pros and cons of going to an office as opposed to working from home.
Certain things are universal, and I'm sure Dr. B would agree. Death, taxes, and romance in the office. I've seen it in white-collar settings as a marketing communications executive, definitely in the military, totally in newsrooms. And it is just inevitable. We're attracted to each other.
Wait, I want to stop you. So we're talking about romance now. I want to back up, and I kind of want to set the stage for that, okay? So before we get that far, just the pros and cons of going to an office. I mean, I've got a lot of friends that went back kicking and screaming. So, Jim, you and I are creative people, and I find that the creatives need to be in an office to kind of banter around the creative ideas. We feed off of each other's energy.
Absolutely. And in the corporate world, that's the brainstorming, but for creative people, definitely. And I personally, when I do a radio program, I mean, people do radio from across the country and pretend they're in the local market. I want to be in the studio by the microphone. And people crave that. And now, according to this study that came out from Robert Half International, a lot of corporations, even small companies, are mandating at least 2 days a week back in the office.
Now, Dr. B, your practice is telemedicine. So you as a doctor can do this via the internet, but half of your practice is now back to the office. So, Dr. B, what are your thoughts about working from home as opposed to working in the office? I mean, just from being effective, mental health-wise, the whole shebang.
Well, you know, we all had to face this. I think it's different, you know, industry by industry or, you know, what type of work you do. But you generally, you know, we're social animals. And being at the office really has a lot of hidden benefits. The people that need to be at the office, I had them come back. And people who really work effectively out of the office because of their job descriptions, it didn't make a difference. But people themselves really like the socialization, the interaction, the new ideas come up. I mean, that's why we have office. Now, you know, there's a big thing going on in our country that people aren't going to offices. And we're going to have to see how that works out in terms of psychosocially.
Now, Jim, now we want to talk about one of your favorite benefits of going into the office. And this type of thing would never happen if you just sat at home behind your computer. And what is that? Drum roll.
For most people in this society, we're all in at work, whether it's, you know, you're an executive working long hours, you're a journalist who has to work around the clock, you're a member of the military where you're on the ship or you're on the base or you're on the post. And doctor, it's got to be, that's the only place you're going to meet people to date. You aren't going anywhere else. So it's inevitable. What are the pros and cons from a therapeutic basis of how do I make the most of this and how do I keep from getting into trouble either emotionally or with the boss?
Well, if the boss wants you to come into the office, you need to come to the office. And I think that people need to kind of understand that, you know, that has been the traditional way work has occurred, and there's good reasons. People exchange ideas. People are in the work mode, so there's all work, and they socialize with each other, interact with ideas. I mean, my company, you know, I got about 13 people working there at the office, and a lot of them like it. A lot of young people like getting out, especially. And then you have more control because, you know, they're, you know, there, you know, with you.
Doctor, if you're going to meet your girlfriend or your boyfriend at work, what's the smart way to do it? And what are the pitfalls?
Yeah, what are the rules?
A lot of companies, I worked in hospitals for years, no, you know, like dating people, but it happens and you can't help it from happening. I'm more flexible. I mean, it doesn't mean I don't have the rules, but as long as people are really doing their jobs and they're performing and I manage them, I'm a little more flexible about it. I don't want to hear a lot about it, and I don't want people talking about that at the office. So people can do it. I mean, I don't fire them. It is problematic. It can be problematic.
Jim, there was actually a big article recently about, since so many people have gone back to work, what is the percentage of people having office romances today? This is pretty astounding.
Yeah, it's at least one third reported in the study, and even more so, 50%, it was with the direct boss. And I think, Dr. B, if that's not a lead in to the pitfalls, I don't know what is.
Hey, look, we don't want that. Honestly, it could be really dangerous for your company. And we don't have to get into all the problems, but there's a lot of issues about that. It's a good reason, you know, people don't want this happening, the boss at the office. It's going to happen, and it depends how you manage it, but there could be a lot of problems with that.
The term professional would be the key word of how to behave if you find yourself in a love situation. You have to remember, always be professional.
Well said.
And if I have this bent, if I'm predisposed to falling for someone I work with closely, I think anyone is, how beneficial is it and how do I go about it?
Well, if it's against the rules, then if you're responsible, that you and maybe your partner-to-be would discuss how you handle a relationship. So that you do your work and there's a minimal amount of that socialization at work. So if the boss does find out, it's like, it's not affecting our work at all, boss. I mean, I'm still working, because that's really one of the issues for the boss.
In analyzing this and in closing out part of our conversation, how much of this factor is like what you've seen in your practice with people who are coming out from being widows or widowers or after a divorce. It's got to be the same as with cave syndrome, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, for those people, they're very hungry for more intimate relationships, and maybe they're rusty, they don't know how to do it, or there's not a lot of places to do it. Most of their time is spent at work. They meet somebody they like. They can't stop themselves, you know, even if they jeopardize their job. So if they're very important people for the company, I, as a boss, try to sit down with them and discuss how this could work so we don't ruin the company.
Yeah, well, what did they say? Love conquers all. I mean, it gives such energy and confidence to people that suddenly someone who's shy or someone who had a phobia, I mean, if they want to be with their loved one and that person happens to be at work, what an incentive to go in 9 to 5, right?
Yeah, you never miss.
You know, but the thing is, how do you get out of it in the event? I mean, the love thing is one thing. You know, you're falling in love. Everybody's working diligently during the day. All is going, you know, swimmingly. But what happens if there's a breakup and you're still working there? That's where it gets kind of touchy. And I would say you're just going to have to be professional. I mean, there's no two ways about it. Other than that, or if you don't like it, it starts to get messy, then someone's got to leave.
Wow. Yeah. But sometimes it's both of you. Dr. B, how do you handle the exit? Not from the company, but from the relationship.
We would like, most of all, if they're important employees, and we all know how hard it is to replace them, to see if there is a way to manage this. So I just have open talks with them how we could manage this so that we could work and have the relationship. And if the relationship breaks up, that has really been the downside of this, because then it can get very uncomfortable for people working there and their productivity goes down. And I think that's really what bosses are concerned about.
Yeah, I've been there, done that.
Yeah, right. The problem, that's the problem. And I think it's really more that part for the bosses than the when it's going well.
Well, Jim, any final thoughts before we have to say goodbye?
As an office and professional maverick, I hate to say it, but there's a reason for rules. And that's because it's gone bad before. But boy, is it great to hop on that 2-hour commuter train that seems like 10 minutes when you've got somebody you love to wait for you on the other end.
Yeah, always an issue, but also kind of nice. I mean, if you look at it from a Hallmark movie lens, right?
Absolutely. Good. I like that.
All right. Well, Jim, I really, really love having you on the podcast, right, Dr. B? We love
it. Same here, Jim.
I wouldn't miss it for the world. You two are great, and it's a lot of fun.
We welcome your thoughts and ideas about topics to talk about. So if you got a great idea, just log on to BregmanMedicalGroup.com.
From Bregman MD, you've been listening to the latest episode of The Breakdown with Dr. B. If you'd like more information or to speak to one of our top psychiatrists, just head to our website to book a telepsychiatry visit from the comfort of your home. Hope you've enjoyed our latest podcast. Catch you next time.